The message is from Genesis chapter 17. It's going to be a great message. It's going to be a good message. Just say that to your neighbor. It's going to be a good message. Stay awake. Merry Christmas. Say to your neighbor, Merry Christmas. And I really mean it. Oh, it's great to be in the house of God. It's amazing. It's one short story, Christmas story. Sunshine Ray has been, I call him Pastor Ray, Sunshine Ray, out in the streets and ministering to people, homeless people. Sometimes there are a good number of them. And to see a family that he meets, to see a family met right where they're at, and then to be showered with love and grace, and how we have seen this happen in our church. And it is fantastic. Many of you who come here know this diagram. This is the house diagram, and I don't want to spend a lot of time with it. You already know a lot about it. But we say the universe for man is something like a house, and he lives only naturally in the first floor of the house. So we could say that a man's existence is here, just only in these dimensions. There are all of us are here. We know what life is by way of our existence in time, food, people, disappointments, expectations, money, lack of money, success, failure, disappointments. And in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible, we say that God says there that there's nothing new under the sun. Under the sun is a phrase repeated in that book, meaning on this planet, under the sun, subject to the cosmos, to the world as we naturally relate to it. But we cannot see the whole picture, and this is what we mean by the upper story of the house. We have God and the reality of God, whom we cannot see. His resources, his person, his Holy Spirit. And when Christ came into the world, he was in heaven. He said this: no one has gone up to heaven but the Son of Man who is in heaven. And he said it when he was here in Israel. No one has gone to heaven but the Son of Man, that's me, who is in heaven as I speak to you. This is the wedding of the reality of God as God knows it with humanity. I say this to introduce our subject tonight, and it's from Genesis 17. And we have, by nature, a propensity to look at life only here in these dimensions. We could say we like this life in many ways. We have needs met. When I'm very hungry and I eat a good bowl of soup and a sandwich grilled. Fantastic. There are many expressions of how in this world, God made it so that it is a little bit like heaven. But it is also a world filled with disappointments. And it is a little bit like hell. We hear it all the time. It's in our language. Now turn to Genesis 17 and we can read how this story fits into what I just shared with you. Chapter 17. I'm in the wrong book. Okay, Genesis 17. Genesis 17, and verse 15. This is our Christmas service, by the way, tonight. We also have, if you want to be with us, there are people without families and people with families, but they want to be with us on Sunday morning at 11. We have a service, but we're here tonight because we respect the families and love to do this with our candlelight service, and we're giving out a message for us tonight to feed on and to think about and to embrace. We also have Sunday night, that's Christmas night, here at 6:30. You're welcome at any of those. And may God bless your Christmas. How beautiful it is. I love this time of year. Now notice this. Chapter 17, 15. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, that wife, you shall call her name Sarai, but Sarah, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, give you a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her. She shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Whoa, I could preach on that right now. Whoa, my knees went weak reading it. Ah, kings will come from her. If God says it, it is like that. You look around here on this level, you go, what are you talking about? She's an old woman, can't have children. Oh, I'm talking about another world is behind us. I'm talking about something great that we could not invent on our own. Something incredible that we are celebrating this Christmas season. That God coming into this world is shocking. It's unbelievable. We'll look at it here. Look at verse 17. We're reading the verse 17. Abraham fell upon his face and he laughed. Why did he laugh? Because he lives in the first floor of the house. My wife's going to have a child. What? Look at the next part. He said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And Sarah, 90 years old? For the sake of illustration, let me throw in there something not in the text. Abraham could say, we haven't had sex for a long time. Without offending anybody, but being serious about it, you understand the kind of challenge that could be or problems that people have in that area in the older years. I mean, Abraham is laughing in unbelief. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Okay? But it gets better. Look at verse 18. Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Say it out loud with me. Abraham said unto God, say it. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Those of you who know your Bible a little bit, you may know the meaning of that. Oh, that Ishmael might live before. Turn to your neighbor and say it with some drama. Shakespearean drama. Oh, that Ishmael may live before you, God. Now, who is Ishmael? Son of Abraham, who's the mother? Hagar, how did Ishmael come into the world? Abraham, Sarah counseled him, I can't have children. You can take Hagar. It's okay with me. She's our maid in the household. You can have a son through her. He did so. Now he's crying out. God said, you will have a son by Sarah. And he's going, oh, that Ishmael, he's my son. He could be the one of promise. He could be the one. What does this mean with our sketch here? We often look for the best we can get on this level. I want to have a blessing here on this level where the things I can count, calculate on, depend on. Another way of saying it, oh, that my flesh would live before you, God. I'm an honest person, really. The Lord is looking at you and I and saying, no, you're not. I'm a good one. I really am. I'm sincere, committed, dedicated. You could trust me. Lord rolls his heavenly eyes. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Your flesh cannot manage in a church. Your flesh can hardly handle your marriage. Your flesh cannot raise your children. Your flesh cannot preach the gospel. Your flesh cannot keep friends. Your flesh gets easily offended. Your flesh is so repugnant, miserly. You're a scrounge. The Grinch stole Christmas. How? Oh, that Ishmael would live before you. We can do our best. In other words, we don't need Christmas. How many people out there are saying it in their cars? We don't need, I don't know what the Christians are talking about. I go to Walmart and Target. It's a Freudian slip. I go out shopping. I get my stuff done. We go to the best universities, the best schools. We got the best thing going, even the best churches. We got prosperity and everything. Oh, that Ishmael would live in your sight. Lord is shaking his head. Not in my plan, not my way, not what I want to do. I will shock you. I will surprise you. Sarah will have a son in her old age. He will be unique. He will come from, he is a human being. With the miracle, I'm saying the miracle came from there. The extraordinary. And I want to encourage you and say to you personally, on this Christmas season, there's something in us that says we don't need Christmas. And that's our flesh. I don't know what they're talking. Yes, it's very cute. There's a baby in the manger, and yet the donkeys are there. And yes, it's a nice, okay. No. This is extraordinary. I need it. When I realize how Ishmael doesn't cut it, my flesh doesn't make it, I cannot please him, I cannot find satisfaction, I am not filled with the Holy Spirit, I am not satisfied with things as they are, I easily complain about them, I'll be a critic of the perfect thing. Guys, I'm missing heaven. And what is needed is not the perfect things in life. What is needed is Christ in us. What is needed is something extraordinary that happens in our heart, that we love again. Someone said, I've been hurt so much, I've lost my trust. I said, you have to trust again. You have to love. You're called to love. You have to forgive and forgive again. And you have to trust again. And you can't draw back into your selfishness. You can't draw back into your own, and then laugh and, unbelief and say, when somebody says, God loves me, you laugh. Are you kidding? He loves me. Cynical, unbelieving, stony heart, mocking, a hard, not broken, not realizing he loves me. He loves me. This is a precious time. God's hearts are open and tender. And for the believer, for us to realize, Ishmael, please recognize that sentence when you say it in your shower in the morning or in your walk at night or when you're sitting in your lazy boy chair in a relaxed moment or when you're driving in your car and you say, oh, that Ishmael would live in your sight. And the Lord said, please get adjusted to me. I am the extraordinary God. I am the God that fills you. I am the one that satisfies you. I am the one that visits you. I am the one that comes out of the blue. Like Pastor Pete Wester was saying about how love is light on its feet, like Song of Solomon, like a deer in the forest. There he is. Where'd he go? He's gone. There's the white tail. Love surprises, startles, amazes. And with this homeless couple that has come into the church, and there are others too, and we're not making notice of them or pointing them out, but just for them to come and say, whoa, I'm shocked. God loves me. I've got a new beginning. Nobody has trusted me like that before. I can't believe that I got a new shot at life, that God himself showed up, that he's showing me I have a future. I'm valuable. If you knew my background, like on this first level here, if you knew it, you wouldn't ever give me the time of day or give me any hope. People have given up on me through my life, many people could say. But no, we're saying we are shocked, startled, amazed at this baby born in Bethlehem. Is God. Get used to the idea. And then in closing, it was like a time sequence. I'll just draw it by three circles. And I want to show you something about Christ. They were, when he first came, they didn't know it. They're like saying things like this, that Ishmael would live in your sight, or I will do my best as a Pharisee. I will say my prayers. I'll perform and do the best I possibly can. Or they were walking around saying, let's try harder. And all of these things on the first floor of the house. You know how it is. We've all been there. We know about it. And one day we heard a preacher say, give up, surrender, believe, trust, yield. Open your heart to Christ. Believe in him, and then that new birth, that work of grace, that forgiveness of our sin, that start amazed. And so here it is, the first one. Christmas came, and it was shocking to the wise men and the shepherds and all of us. We are shocked that this, if you walked up to the baby, you could say to Jesus, and Jesus, do you know me? And Jesus, as a baby this big, could say, I know everything about you because I am God. But I can't talk right now. I'm not fully developed as a man. But I know all things. And you say, Jesus, are you everywhere? Are you in the Pacific Ocean in the highest Himalayan mountain? I am everywhere, present. My Father is everywhere. And just now I am very humble. I am here for you. Are you shocked? Are you surprised? Second thing, he went into heaven. And this is another thing you don't know about. But he's there on your behalf. He has your name written on the palm of his hand. He's an intercessor for every one of us. Hebrews 7:25. He represents us before God on our behalf. He is before God the Father. Having been accepted, we are accepted in him. And we have all of these guarantees, and we are very secure as born-again believers, as children of God, in the heart of God, because our Savior lives. I know that my Redeemer lives, and though worms will eat this body, Job 19, yet I know in my flesh in the latter day I shall stand upon the earth in my flesh and see my Redeemer. The third thing people don't know about this Christ that is shocking is where it's all going. Do you realize he's coming back? He realizes he's going to reign on this earth with a government that has an incredible sense of justice and execution of authority, an amazing sense of presence that we are tasting it now in the local assembly and in our personal lives, but it's coming. Some believers, when they hear those things, they laugh like Abraham. They go, really? Are you kidding me? Do you know who my wife is? Are you kidding me? He laughs like that. Believers do. And they give it the best. Oh, that our civilization, oh, that our flesh, oh, that our good intentions, that could serve. Now God is saying, no, I got something extraordinary, wonderful, beyond what you could imagine. The angels see it and recognize it, and so do we. There'll be times in your life, continue on, please, in your faith, and get doctrine in your soul. This will govern your, I'm telling you, I've read pastors' lives who preach for 60 years, 42 years, one, and they're always the same great story. And it's like this, they say, when people were in that ministry, they died well. I love that sentence. When people came under that ministry, then it was like they lived their normal lives like everybody. But when it came to that hour to die, all of that doctrine, all of that fellowship in the assembly, all of that amazing realization, it kind of takes a fruition. And they have a glow many times. Believers that live in the doctrine, live by faith in it, embrace it, experience it, not only in this one category when you find him in the manger, but you find him also seated at the right hand of the Father, and we will one day find him returning with his authority and his power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's close. There's something about me that says I don't need Christmas. I'm fine. I'm doing good with, you know, it's like, that's okay. It's something, but no. When you and I realize that we are ravenously there, worshiping, hanging on it, as if it's our last clutching, hanging there. If it's not real, I'm lost. If God wouldn't come, I have nothing. If God hadn't showed up, I would have been lost. I would have nothing in my life. If God hadn't come, that's what Christmas means to us. Without contradiction, great is the mystery of it. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on in the world, and preached to the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, and then received up to glory. I love this church. I love it that you're here tonight. I love it on Sundays and Wednesdays. I love what God is doing. I know we believe this. Let me say it one more time and finish. There's something the Grinch is searching to steal. Okay, that's a Hollywood thing. Okay. All right, the stealing of the Christmas from the flesh. It says, oh, that Ishmael. Ha, ha, ha. Ishmael. The best of us. The great, the human being. That he is the honor and the crown of the human race. Or to say, you're not even close. Ishmael is a miserable loser. just like you and every one of us. We need God to come here and save us. And he did. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? I'm addressing anyone here tonight, anyone on the internet, anybody, anywhere in all the world, at any time. I'm speaking to your heart. I pray for that, that we would, as a body, we pray that the Spirit would speak to your heart. And you would say to Jesus, I need you. Not a God far away who doesn't speak. Not a God far removed way up in the upper story of the house, never caring or touching our lives. Nor do we want our best in the first floor. No, we need God coming here and saving us, taking our sin away and giving us a new beginning. Say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus Christ, I do not understand it all, but I don't need to. I believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You will perish. Doesn't matter how smart you are, how good looking you are. Doesn't matter who you are, what schools you've gone, how good you are. You've got stuff in your closet. No, all the way through your whole life as I. That disqualifies us from heaven. But God so loved you that he sent Christ, and he requires one thing from you, to trust in him, to save you. Not yourself. Don't improve your life. Try to improve for 6 months. Say, later, after I get better, after I stop the marijuana, after I stop the pornography, then I will come to Jesus. No. Do it now when you're in trouble or when you're so proud and good. Do it now. Humble yourself before God and believe and be born again tonight. He'll take care of the marijuana. He'll take care of the sin in your life. He'll remove it out. He'll take it out. You'll get to know Christ, the living Christ. He'll clean you up. He'll save you. He will give you a new life. He'll save you and give you a new name written in the book of life. Say, Jesus, save me. Say it, please, anyone at all here in the audience. And ushers are in the back looking. If you will raise your hand, just put it up and put it down. The ushers will look at and give you a booklet, encourage you in your decision. Anyone at all, say yes to Jesus. You can do it tonight. You got to do it, though. You got to do it in your heart. Get peace with God and say to Jesus, here I am, Lord. I'm coming by faith. Then keep going, walking by faith. And you'll find how real and true it is. Anyone at all? In Jesus' name, amen.